Let's do in order, Roken to Reek next.
Hello. Susie here?
I'm gonna go grab some food too, by the way.
Okay.
Also, Jack, you could
I'm here.
I was planning on asking if the opportunity came up when we were talking to her. But you said something very small. Like it was probably two words that clued me into something that I it's reinforcing my hunch.
What was it?
I can DM it to you.
Okay. Cuz I'm curious. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm very interested.
I don't know if it's something maybe. You
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That because, in Ben's character,
actually just
I wouldn't
giving
have...
you ideas right now.
I love how you do that.
In character, I wouldn't know that as Roke, but as Roke, I was already planning to ask about that specific guy. To ask if she knew anything about him. Or them in general.
Carmen? You're going to ask her?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what she knows.
I was going to ask her about his administration, his council. Okay,
yeah. I don't know if she knows anything, so I was going to ask her anyway, but...
Cool. So Roken Tariq, it has been... So you guys have been walking in the streets looking for her. So I'll just force you guys to read the document a little bit. So you're getting a little... you're sort of briefing yourself on her. It's the little parchment that you have says that she is believed to be around... in mid-20s, around 25 probably. She's a woman. She is a cleric from the Cleric HQ. She was a Penrite native before leaving to study at the Cleric headquarters for 8 years. She left at the age of 16. There's notes in the parchment saying that they talked with other clerics that knew that are in Penrite that knew her when she was studying, and said that she had a reputation of being very studious and rigorous, academic. And she has a certificate of mastery in both medicine and science in just 8 years. If you pull up the cleric doc, I can pull it up. There's a certificate of association, novicehood, mastery, and grand mastery. So it's the third highest certificate you can get in those fields, and she has it in both medicine and science. For comparison, not a good comparison, because Jared left for other reasons, not because he wasn't good. Here only has a certificate of association. And it generally takes 8 years of study to become a master in just one field, let alone two. So she did it very fast.
I was going to say that's a six-year difference, right?
Yeah, she saved a lot of time and was very... She had a very good reputation with at the HQ and with other clerics to this day, and is very well-known, and she's very young. And so it's very impressive. And she's got beaming remarks from all the other clerics. Her first assignment since leaving the headquarters has been in Penrite. The document theorizes, it hasn't confirmed, but they believe that maybe she asked specifically to be assigned to Penrite. And it's very rare for clerics to ask for specific assignments, let alone to get them. But also, it's also possible that she just left HQ and just came here and set up her own practice without, a specific approval or assignment from the, cleric administration. And then she also has a very good reputation here as an excellent healer and friend of the peasantry, and is famous for asking people to pay what they can in exchange for treatment, to offer what they can, and also to offer asking peasants to... sometimes pay in service, as assistants, she has a camp set up where she has books, and she in exchange for her services, you have to promise to stay in the camp and she's like teaching some peasants how to read, or any peasants that like didn't learn how to read, because most now, because the God Emperor do, but especially in Penrite, literacy is a bit low. Anyone that doesn't know how to read, or is having them read books and take some like classes with like some of her followers that she's taught a bit, and they just have to stay here, and like, you know, no alcohol is allowed, yada yada. And so she has her own camp, and so that's where she's probably going to be. And yeah, she's like become famous among the peasants for like, if you show up and say, I can't pay you anything, but I'm really, really ill and I really need your treatment, and she believes you, she will treat you for free. But will usually make you promise to stay in her camp. Yeah, that's pretty much all the document says.
Okay.
And so you
and approach... this is the group that is trying to unite with Weller?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. They want to bend the knee to House Weller and swear allegiance to the Wellers and unify with West Penrite. And so whether that specifically means that West and East Penrite become one unified city under House Weller, or if they remain two independent, like it's still East and West Penrite with their own lords and stuff bent to House, like bending the knee House Weller, that's not really known, but in some way or form they want to bend the knee to House Weller. Yes.
Okay.
And it does say that in the document. They don't know specifically what their aims are. Is like, would they be willing to keep Naren? Would they want to have the heir twos take over East Penrite? They don't know. And so you guys arrive to the like the camp, and it is crowded. There's a huge line, and you see there's several. You don't see any other clerics, but you see other healers. And so as you arrive, and it's just this, it's the scene in the middle of the city, or actually on the outskirts of the city. It's actually outside of the wall of Penrite. And you walking through the streets, there are like people advertising it, being like as you were walking towards the camp, Roke, you still have like your limp. And you said you're at what, 2 HP?
I'm at 2 HP, my arms are crippled, I have a limp.
So you're still limping your arm, you're really weak. You have to like lean onto, you look really pale and
it's
tired.
So funny, yeah. Because like just before this, Tariq had like a broken not broken leg, but like Tariq was fucking like busted, and the only difference is that I haven't been rolling shit.
Your immune system's been handling it better. Your body's
Tariq
been
is just
better.
Tariq is just lucky.
Got that Westerling blood. That Westerling
I
training.
I do have that Westerling blood. That Westerling training.
So,
run to the pack, my ass.
Yeah, as you guys were leaning, as you're like leaning on Tariq, like walking through the city, a man like approaches you and goes, "You look like you need some help. Are you okay?" And like, and gestures to Roke. And before waiting for a response, he goes, like, outside, Carmen the healer has a camp. You can go there and she can heal you. And he gestures towards the out of the city.
Me just standing there in the plague doctor mask in this man.
I'm going to reach out and just, like, kind of lightly tap him on the shoulder and, like, you're a good man. Thank you.
he puts his hand on your hand as well, and nods. Like, it's like, yeah, of course, of course. I can help you get there. And he wraps your like arm around his shoulder and starts taking you there. And he goes,
oh,
like,
yeah,
she's a cleric.
Oh yeah, you got two people now.
She's got amazing healing abilities. I had an infected wound in my thigh, and I came there, and I was sick, and within a week she had me all better, walking normal and everything, and she had me in her camp, and it's just, it's a wonderful time. It's the fucking, it's an encampment on a university campus.
Protest.
So yeah, you guys get to the camp and it's really crowded. And so as you guys walk up, there is a man standing. You see like people that are arriving to the camp, to the camp. I almost called it an encampment. To the camp, are like being stopped by like people that are like standing in the outskirts that are dressed. They have like little tiny little like badges, I guess, like patches. That's the word. Like stitched onto like their clothes, and they're just little like pink circles stitched under their clothes. And they're I'm to like distinguish them from everyone else, and they're all like stopping people as they're coming into the camp. And one of them walks up and stops and goes, hold on a second, you're coming to Carmen's camp?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's like, he's gesturing specific to Rogue, because what's the severity of your injury? Or sickness? What's your condition?
I have a limp in my leg, and I could barely use my arms. I feel like at any moment I'm going to pass out.
Oh. You believe you need to see Carmen herself, then?
Yes.
I probably will, yeah.
This is really lucky that you guys actually have, like, a genuine, like... He doesn't even have to lie or anything. It's just, like, genuinely, I actually...
Yeah.
We would like to see Carmen herself.
All right, the line's a bit long. It'll probably be a 2-3, maybe 4-hour wait. You fine with that?
It's what 12? Time is it now?
Noon.
It's noon, and we don't have to meet up till tonight, so we can afford to let.
I'm gonna pass.
We can
out
afford
at
to be.
Right?
I don't know. Are you?
Yes, you are. Right, you're not gonna pass out. You're not gonna pass out, but you're gonna start getting tired.
Yes,
like actually
you're
tired.
Right. Okay. Yes, we could wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Because you're not. If you were like planning to go into combat at 8 o'clock, maybe it'd be a bad idea. But that'd be a bad idea in your current condition. Okay, so you guys see, there's a line of people specifically waiting to see. So once you guys get like into the camp, actually, there's like wall, like wooden barricades have been built around it, and then there's like tents outside of it as well. And you see that like you can tell that like it started. And then it spread a little bit, and they built wooden like palisade walls around it, and then it spread more outside of it, and they like it's gotten huge, and there's probably like at like 500 to 1,000 people here. Jeez. And most of them are sick and ill, and you see like women sitting on like blankets holding like infants that are just like lying unconscious in their arms. And, you know, like, you see, like, a small child, probably, like, 6 years old, like, throwing up, in, like, into the dirt. And, like, you see, like, one old man walking around blind, like, feeling around, like, on the outskirts of the camp as you're walking through. And then you get towards the actual, like, entrance of the camp. And you see there's a little waiting area that's being sort of, like, sectioned off. That's specifically to meet Carmen, and the guy like leads you there, and he points you over there and goes, "Can we wait there? What's your name?"
My name is.
He leads you in, and he points and goes, "Yeah, just sit in there, and they'll call your name when she's ready to see you."
Thank you very much.
So you guys leave in, and you see he walks up to the person that's in charge. There's like two people sitting in front of the sectioned area, and he walks up and speaks to one of them, and you see one of them nod and write down something like on a parchment really quick. So it looks like one word, and you see there's one person calling out name after name to like every like 15 to 30 minutes they call out a name, and there's probably like 20 to 30 people sitting here waiting. But you also see this lots of other tents with like limes and other healers, whatnot. There's some people walking around, like offering water and food and hot meals to some people. And yeah. You guys want to talk any about anything while you sit for 4 hours next to each other?
Well, things considered, how are you feeling, Rogue? You've had quite the injury.
I'm feeling quite okay now. If I was able to get any sleep a few days, I'd probably be just a little bit better. But other than that, food we've been eating the past couple days have been absolutely amazing.
Not an easy sleeper, huh? I feel you there. I think my Wi-Fi just gave out. I didn't hear a single thing you said.
No, I said not at all, and then didn't say anything.
So, while you guys are waiting, a man approaches.
I think of Jack's like, do you guys want to talk? Anyway, so a guy's going to approach you.
Well, you guys sat in silence.
Yeah, we did.
It's fine. Like, you guys sit in, like, in chit-chat. Is there anything in particular you'd like to talk about?
No. I was being goofy, Jack.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. A man approaches, and he's got one of those pink circles, and he walks up. He goes, would either of you like some bread while you wait?
Yes, please. Treatment?
I'm all right, thank you.
And Roki hands you a small little, like, cut piece of, he has a bag attached to his hip.
Oh, yeah.
And he opens it and reaches in and pulls out, like, a quarter of a loaf of bread and cut.
Oh, yeah.
And he hands it to you. And walks away, and he says, what does he say? He says, God bless you. And puts his, two fingers in your forehead, and then walks away.
Tariq?
Yes?
What was that symbol he did above his head?
Your forehead.
Oh! Why'd he do that to my head?
I do not know, Rogue. I do not understand the fake gods the people of this land bow to, but, they can believe what they believe, I suppose.
He gave me bread, and he seemed very kind, so I don't think it was meant by any ill intention.
I don't think it was meant illy, either.
Well, Rogue and Tariq are getting along. They're so cute. Yeah. I want you guys to go
after
on your own.
After we stab each other. After we stab each other, we're going to our tea party.
Rogue, are we gonna talk about the circumstances in which we met, or is that all?
Quite a blur, to be honest, for me. But I think
me it was a blur because I passed out due to blood loss. But you know, yeah.
I think after we all made it through the woods together, we came to a better understanding of who we are.
It's still
the only thing I have yet to understand. The only other thing I have yet to understand is how that poor girl that travels with us can drink so much alcohol.
You know, Junia has... It's funny. Junia and I used... We still get along well. She's always had a knack for drinking. It really caught me off guard, actually, when I first met her. But she's a good fighter, and she cares a lot.
See?
Cares a lot. I will say I am consistently surprised by the people I keep meeting, this side of the wall. It's very, very different levels of compassion, I would say. And you know, what really astounds me is the false prophecy you were a part of. You've...
Still doesn't make dedicated... sense to me.
It's... shocking that you've dedicated to yourself to this cause twice now.
Well, the circumstances give him. I don't really have anywhere else to go. I'm so far away from home. And the least I could do is that follow along and at least offer some help.
Home, that is a really nice prospect, isn't it?
Whether or not I am part of the prophecy. I'm here, maybe I am.
You are part of the prophecy. I know you are.
So, hours upon hour passes by, and people keep getting called out. You swear, people that showed up after you get called up before you, and you're like, how the fuck long is this going to take? But
it's probably due to severity of injury.
Yeah.
After about 4 hours of sitting in the dirt, getting up and stretching and taking naps maybe and chatting and whatever. Actually, neither of you can fucking sleep. You don't take naps.
We talk about our home tests.
Roke? Is there a Roke?
Oh, yes. Let me help you up. Throw your arm over my shoulders.
And Roke, you limp forward. You guys, Carmen the healer, we'll see you now. She's in the pink tent in the middle, and he points, and she hands you a little wooden token.
That bread was really good. Can I get one HP?
No.
Okay. Anyway, hands this wooden
token. I hope you limp over.
So you guys limp into the camp, past the walls, and you see inside. There are like children being taught how to read, and you see like some teenagers, even adults, even adults learning alongside them, and classes being taught, and you know, people writing and drawing and making art and knitting and sewing and baking and cooking and fetching water and digging and building and carving, and there's just like all sorts of shit going on in here. Yeah, there are people making bread. This is where the bread came from.
No, I said breading.
Breading.
Did I say that?
Yes, you said children learning how to read.
Oh, okay.
And then you learning how to read. Pointed it out, and then read. You said nothing.
To read.
Hell yeah.
You do, however, smell the aroma of fresh baked bread being made in the oven, in the camp. All sorts of like stews being made and food being provided. And you see people running food out further into the camp and distributing it within the camp and everything. And both of you roll IQ.
Okay.
Oh no, I'm not smart. Failure by 4.
Failure by 1. Wait, did I roll in Susie rolling? No, I rolled in Ben rolling. There you go. Good.
It's always very anticlimactic when I ask for perception rolls and they fail. Failed by
roll one. Again.
Failed by 1. Failed by 1 is so close. I want to give you a little something.
Wait. Starting IQ. Do I have that right? My IQ is 11.
Yeah, you failed by 1. You notice that you haven't seen any other clerics in the camp. And you just take note of that. As you're walking, you're like, huh, I haven't seen any of those, because you guys have... I mean, Roke, you presumably met a cleric. Tariq, you've definitely met a cleric. They are very striking.
We walked in assuming that it was the one cleric and then just, like, helpers and healers, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
we were expecting that.
But it
that.
Is you do take note. That's like, it's interesting that this place of healing and learning, you don't see any clerics nearby. None of the striking pink robes that like stick out. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. I don't see any pink robes.
From a player perspective, not rogue perspective, there was all those tents that people were lined up in, that we were waiting next to, right?
Mm-hmm. It's possible there are clerics in there. Yep.
Okay, but because we failed, we didn't. Really make them.
You just notice you haven't seen any clerics. That's all you know. Then you take note of it in your mind. You're looking around and you make the realization. You're like, oh.
No cleric.
And so then, giant pink tent in the middle of the camp. Actually, it's not giant. It's like medium sized. It could probably fit like, maybe two. It could probably fit four people sleeping in it.
Okay.
That kind of size tent. And so you walk up and you see there's a guard with a sword sheathed on his hip, and he's wearing like a chainmail over like some cloth armor. He has like a dented, like rusted metal helmet on, and he looks at you and goes, and he like reaches out his hand.
You have that token, Roke?
Yes, and I hand him the token.
He looks down at it, and he picks up and twirls it, like turns it and like inspects it a little bit. And then you see he throws it in a little. You see, actually, he reaches into a. He has like a little shirt pocket that he reaches into, pulls out an identical token, and he compares them, and puts the old one back in his pocket and throws yours into a little bucket full of tokens, and it clacks. Into the token. And then he looks up and he goes, "You can go in," and nods at you.
Limping in time.
Limping in time.
So you you open the tent flap and walk inside. It's dimly lit. There's some candles providing lighting.
Plague Doctor and Mr. Really thirsty, Pan apparently. Walk into a cleric tent.
This is a setup to a really fucking bad joke.
I'm really thirsty.
Should go get water then.
So you walk in, and yeah, it's dimly lit. There's candles on the table, and you see table and some like sleeping mats and a bed. And I'm just realizing, why did they let Tariq in with you? You're like his escort, I guess.
Helping him walk.
And
although we probably don't have our guard.
Oh yeah,
we kind of forgot. Yeah, he didn't come along. He was busy.
I forgot about Fair.
We forgot to pick him up before we left.
Yeah, you guys forgot to pick up Fair.
Going back a little bit, the head guard told us that he had to be on guard duty for a certain guy, and we're like, okay, yeah, he's.
Oh no, you guys just forgot to pick him. You guys just left, and you like you probably made the realization while you were sitting, while you guys were chatting, like, oh right, weren't we supposed to pick up some guy named Farrick in the keep? We just kind of left.
I mean, like, we could go get him. Oh, but we're in lines. We should stay in line. Yeah.
You can go, Tariq. Go, Tariq. Leave me be.
He's happy. He
no,
just
you're injured. I don't want to.
So, okay. So, you see there's a bed. And you see there's a table with one chair on one side and three chairs on the other side. The ground is just dirt, and you see various there's like a table beside another table behind the table, basically her desk, with like vials of like ointments, and there's like various plants strewn about and like picked at and whatnot. And you see beneath it are several like chests. One of them was like open and it's full of like various bottles, and there's scrolls laying about and books that are like have like folded like ripped pages and several bookmarks. Like literally there's like a book with like four bookmarks like sticking out of it, and one like two of them are like open, and you see like ripped pages like strewn about. And you see you turn to your left and see the bed is being made by you see a woman with flowing pink a figure, presumably a woman, with flowing pink robes, thick pink robes, flowing down to their ankles. And you notice that I'm just gonna say she, you know it's her. Her feet are in like sandals, like flip-flops, like sandals. Sandals, like flip-flops, like sandals.
Hell yeah. Do you guys know the sandals are like flip-flops, which are a lot like sandals?
And you can learn how to read.
I haven't even gotten to the hardest fucking one yet. It's really hot in my room. I'm going to open my second window. Oh, it's locked. Oh, I stepped in the shit.
What, you haven't cleaned it up yet?
No, I cleaned it up.
It's just a wet spot.
I stepped in the remnants, yeah. Oh, and so she, you see her, like, pink hood is down, and she has, like, short black hair that's, like, cut up to, like, above her ears. And you see she's, like, making the
lesbian
bed.
Lesbian?
Like, white.
Damn.
Not she everyone with short hair is a lesbian. She might be bi.
So Jack.
Please, Jack, I didn't shave half my head for nothing. I'm gay.
Jack, out of curiosity, I'm here to get healed, right?
Yes.
Was it? That was so scary. Why did you say yes and your mouth did not move? Okay, anyway, I'm here to get healed. Tariq is with me to get healed.
Yeah, you guys didn't ask for Tariq to get healed, though.
So Tariq's just not gonna get healed. Okay.
I mean, we also didn't ask to be here for a conversation. I think we're gonna have to get her attention one way or the other.
True. Okay, good
thing. Okay, so she's making the bed with, like, white sheets, white feet over the pillow and everything. And you see she's... It seems like she's replacing the sheets from the previous patient.
Hmm.
And she turns, she sort of stands up and turns around and goes, oh, sorry, I didn't see you come in. Please come in. She gestures to Rogan and goes, please lie down.
I'll help you to the bed.
I lie down with my piece of bread. And looks up
and
says, I'll step back.
You see, she walks over and picks up a little paper and goes, is your name, Broke?
Yes.
That's Southern, right? He's thinking about it.
Don't worry about it. No, I'm joking. I don't say that.
My mic took the perfect time to stop. Yes.
Okay. She puts it down and goes, okay, cool. There's a good amount of people from the South up here. It's one of the things I love about Penrite is it's just a melting pot of people from, you know, not so many people from the north, but south, the east, the west. It's just like right on that meeting point of all three of them. There's just so many people here. It's just wonderful.
She's totally got the vibe of a doctor. Just saying.
It says you have what was it? Something with your arms? What's going on with you? And you see, she just like takes the paper and like crumples it up and like throws it. And you see there's, like, another pile, like, a whole pile of, like, crumpled papers in the corner of the tent.
Oh, well, you see, my various adventures throughout the past few days, I've managed to get shot by an arrow in both arms.
Adventurers, what do you do for a living?
I give Broke through the mask just a little bit of a death stare. You see the Dr. Beak just turn directly at you.
It turns like 10 degrees towards you.
Can I roll body language on Susie?
Sure.
I think it's clear, you know what Tariq is trying to say here.
If you roll body language -3 and succeed, Susie can tell you one sentence through her body language.
I think it's clear what Tariq is saying.
I got 11. I'm pretty sure that's a success.
What's your body language level?
12. So success by 1.
No, but -3.
-3, so I didn't get it?
No.
I just gotta guess.
Failure 2. Well, I mean, it seems... Actually, yeah.
It seems kind of obvious, but I don't know.
It'd be really funny if you do the exact opposite of what I'm thinking.
Well, anyway, I Rogue kind of stammers a little bit. He's like, I don't, not really much of a living, just more of an adventure.
Where are you adventuring from? You coming from the South, I presume?
Yes, I originally come from the South, yeah.
Have you been adventuring down there? I mean, if you've been going north, it seems you haven't gotten very far before getting shot twice.
Not yet, no. Man, I don't know what to do. I'm so out of the loop.
Tariq will jump in. Doctor, if... or
you see her eyes light up. She goes, hold on, is that... What
does
are you
she know
wearing?
Pierre? Fuck.
What are you wearing? Is that a plague doctor mask?
Tariq, try to remember Pierre's story of like, yes, a heirloom from my grandfather.
So you're not actually a plague doctor then?
No, I'm from the Navy.
Sorry, it's just, plague doctors aren't really, it's a bit, you see, she gets a little stammered, like, in Penrite, plague doctors are very, bad omen. Sort of a bad symbol. You probably shouldn't. You sound, Westerling?
Does she say that?
Yes.
She reminds me of Hanji from the Attack on Titan.
Me too. Just kind of like in your face, like, knows everything.
I think Tariq's instant response is he just tenses and goes like, what?
Could you remove your mask, please?
No, I have burns.
Oh. Okay.
I hate when I, Susie, play characters that are bad at lying because then I can't figure out how to roleplay them being good at it ever. I self-sabotage so hard.
You know, it's okay. Like, I'm comfortable with Westerlings. Like, I've treated many Westerlings. There's another one in camp right now.
I'm sorry, you said there's a Westerling in camp?
Yes.
Tariq's a little dumb.
His name is Druk. He came here. He was injured. He couldn't speak any common. I treated him, and now we're teaching him how to speak and read common. He's coming along quite nicely. He's been here for about a month. He's been helping out cooking. He's been cooking some recipes from your culture. I've been writing them. You see, she walks over to her table and like pulls out
Tariq
a little scroll.
Gets to try food from home? ?
And she pulls out some like scrolls and unfolds them. Like, I've been writing down the recipes. He's been teaching me how to make I don't know. She repeats the name of a certain kind of stew in Westerling. And she's like, I don't have like a common translation for it right now, but she like reads you the Westerling name and like a decent Westerling. And you instantly recognize it as like it's like a really spicy stew that is really, really good.
I repeat it in perfect Westerling, and then I remove the mask and go, my mother makes that for me.
Oh, really, really? Well, does this look right? And she holds out like the paper to you. You're like, does this recipe look right?
I mean, your meat choices are different, but that's because we're across the wall and most of the animals are different, so that would make sense.
Right.
I mean, there's a few spices you just can't get here, but it looks... Yes.
Spices, you say?
Maybe the God Emperor, once he's back, should go colonize. You can't get, what is it called, melange over here.
There's another Westerling here. I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic. I was curious.
You have severe injuries, she turns to Roke, and there are people waiting for me. Let's see, what can I do about it?
While you're treating my friend, I was curious if we could discuss your affiliations with the with the unifiers.
Hungry. I got a fucking close party notes. I'm kidding.
Hungry.
I'm fucking drawing. I forgot that like everyone on Victoria's floor saw that drawing every day they were walking in class, back in class. Put that on some girl's whiteboard.
Anyway.
Okay. Fuck, what did you ask her? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I attack of affiliation.
The whole point of coming. Yeah. Are you a supporter? Have you heard me speak in, I haven't spoken today, but I was planning to go out to the streets tomorrow.
To be honest, I think that we're just trying to learn more about your cause.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What do you want to know about? You see, she starts, oh, and she goes, well, wait one second, I need to diagnose your friend's problem here, and then we can talk about it while I treat him. You see, she takes out, like, some metal tools, and starts, like, picking up your arm, Roke, and starts, like, prodding it, and, like, starts, like feeling your arm with her hands, and, like, poking it with, like, these random, like, prodders and, like,
my shirtless right now?
And shit. Yeah, she asks you to remove your shirt.
Okay. Can I ask? I have long sleeves.
And, yeah, she starts, like, measuring and going, like, does this hurt? Yes, it does. Okay. She's like, interesting. And like heads over to her desk, and she pulls out a little vial of a green, like thick green ointment, and she unclasps it and goes, "This is there's not much I can really do for you, unfortunately, besides help with the pain, and sort of I can try to bring down the inflammation." But your body just sort of has to heal this out naturally. I do have generally, you see, she takes out she lays the ointment like on like the next to the pillow. God, no channel is safe without getting assaulted by random fucking kids. she sets the ointment on the pillow next to you, and she reaches over and grabs like a another sort of like ointment, and you see she takes out like a metal knife and dips it into the like ointment and pulls it out and takes out a piece of bread and like slathers it onto the bread and walks over and goes, "Here, eat this." And she hands you like a she takes like a pitcher of water and like pours it into like a wooden mug and hands it to you, and like, "You're gonna have to wash it down with this, by the way." And then she takes out the ointment and like dips her fingers into it and begins like mixing it into her hands to begin applying to your arms. So, what did you want to know about? Bread? Yes, you take a bite of the bread. It tastes
icky.
Not terrible.
Like, you see, take a bite. Shit ton of peppermint in it that they just kept putting in to make it taste okay.
It tastes okay.
I'm chowing down on that.
It tastes like. Just like slightly.
I don't need to know bad. What the bread tastes like.
Yeah, it just tastes like the ointment tastes slightly bad to be that vague. I don't know. Like,
icky.
It's like almost tastes like nothing. There's just a little bit of nastiness in there. And so you take a bite and she's like, "Oh, how is it?" She asks.
Very good.
Oh, really?
I love food.
All right then, she like pulls down your left arm, is like, "Eat with your right arm while I apply this," and starts rubbing the ointment into your arm and begins like massaging your arm lightly and avoiding like the sections that hurt most from when she was like prodding with the metal tools. And so she turns to Reed and goes, "What did you? We were talking about the unifiers."
Yeah, what are you hoping through uniting with Weller? If I may
right.
ask.
So, you haven't heard me speak, you said?
No, we just got into town.
Where'd you hear about this, if you don't mind me asking? I'm just curious. She continues massaging the ointment into Roke's skin.
Do I lie, or am I honest?
I got this. Roke starts talking.
Yeah, Greg's got this.
How do we get into town again? Okay.
We walked?
I woke up unconscious, severely injured on the beach, and marched along the beach for hours.
Yeah. Quick recap, just to make sure I have this right. We got in Penrite. We went to the really cheap inn that was like 2 copper pennies or some shit.
Where you guys are going back?
How? I don't specifically remember how we got from the inn to stay with the Baron. Did we?
I don't remember either, bro.
Harik went with Junia and Graham to see the Baron. Yeah. I think
Graham went to see them.
We went back to get you. Yes. Okay. I remember now.
They went to the Baron.
They asked for passage to the Western Woods. The Baron said no unless you help me. Right.
Something like on the long lines.
And then like, okay, go send for other party members. And then we're like best buds with the Baron, Naren the Baron. Yeah. Okay. So Roke starts talking when she asks that question. Says, what does he say? What is he?
She says, like, where'd you hear this from? Like, who told you about myself?
Tariq falters, and then Roke goes to interject, and then Roke falters.
No.
Continues massaging.
Says, well, I might not agree or disagree with what he has to say. We recently have been offered hospitality by Naren the Baron, and just overhearing some conversations with him, we thought we would go around and talk to the different factions and see what they have to say for themselves.
Yes. She looks up at you and goes like, oh, you've been staying with Naren.
Yes.
The Lord of Penrite. Former Duke of the Greenwood. Naren the Baron.
I believe so, yes.
No, the other one.
No, the other one. Graham peeks
his head in. You're such a Ford. What is this?
I hope you don't mind me asking, but how did you make an acquaintance of him? How do you know him?
We have a good friend who grew up in Penrite.
Well, if only it was Roke that said that. Roll acting turn.
It's true! It's true!
You said you had a friend who grew up in Penrite.
Tim, that's Pierre!
Wait. You said you had a friend who grew up in Penrite. So she looks at him and goes, oh, and this friend knows Naren?
Yes! Okay, that's active.
Yeah!
Tariq goes... He was part of the Navy, and from what I understand, quite accomplished there.
That's good.
Dang, well acting.
This role, acting, but the modifier to the default will make it just IQ.
Fuck. That's it. We got a 50-50, boys. Oh, success by one.
He goes, oh, yeah. What did he do to make an acquaintance of Naren?
What?
And she goes, other arm, please. And takes the other arm.
A friend of his died in working for the Navy, and Medal of Honor?
I don't believe.
Oh, right. That makes sense. You wouldn't be very familiar with our customs, our military customs and everything.
But yes, we've been staying with Naren the Baron. He offered us hospitality, and we learned about you through his conversations, and that would be awesome.
So, an adventurer from the south and a westerling, and you're friends with an accomplished naval officer of the east, I imagine?
Yes, he did grow up in Penrite.
I imagine did he serve the naval forces of Naren's last name?
Baron.
Baron.
What's Obama's last name?
Triangle.
Would Naren be the last name when you refer to them by
his name is Naren of House Air 2. Did he serve in the Air 2 Navy or in the Ester Navy or?
To be honest, I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah. I'm just curious. How did you make an acquaintance of this accomplished officer?
Well, it's quite a journey from the Western Wall to. Sorry, restart. I've been traveling because I was sent to go explore some of his laundry, and on my way, I...
You were sent, you said?
Yes, to explore some of his laundry.
I'm really curious. Who sent you? Do you, like, send? My understanding was that Westerlings came of their own volition. I didn't know anybody was sent.
This NPC.
Wait, what'd you say?
I'm in love with this NPC.
Oh, I love this woman. Guys, can we side with her? I like her. She's
can I ask her to join our party?
No, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. She's nice and she's smart. I think we should side with her. Anyway, though.
It's like the first smart NPC that's nice to you guys.
I'm dying for this. I'm dying for her.
I love her. Well, it's Westerling practices do vary, and I was just sent to bring back word on what Ez Laundry was up to these days.
Yeah, but who sent you? Was it like your tribe elder, or
how much do you know of Westerling culture?
not much. I've read a little bit about it. We don't have much on them at the headquarters. I mean, obviously, I haven't been able to talk much with the what the fuck. I made him a name, and I forget. Was it Drock?
Something like that.
It was Drock.
I was waiting for my main character moment where it's a name I recognize. Graham knows everything.
I think it was Joe.
Drock.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to talk. Obviously, I haven't been able to commute much with the commute. I haven't been able to talk much with Drock. So I don't know a whole lot. I know that you live in essentially what are. Fuck you, Ashley, goddammit. How'd you pull that up so fast? What are essentially tribes, and I believe you have like chiefs or elders or some sort of authority that are in charge of them.
Elder, yes. Sent by a religious elder.
Oh, yeah, I don't know much about your faith either. You should stay here. We can talk about it. You could meet Jirok.
I don't know how much time I have to stay, but I would like to meet the Westerling.
Oh, right. You are an esteemed guest of the Naren. Of the
Baron. Yes.
Of the Naren. Of the Naren, the Baron.
Speaking of Naren, the Baron, how much do you know about him? We've only just arrived a couple days ago.
I grew up in Penrite. Pulls up documents. I grew up in Penrite, but I left about 9 years ago to become a cleric, I only lived under him for 2 years before leaving. But I know he inherited the duchy from his father. His father died quite young. Youngish. He was in his early 50s. And his Naren became Duke of the Greenwood at age 19. Or maybe he was 20. He was very young. And he's been Duke for about a decade. I mean, he's been doing... quite well for himself. and the merchants, but as you've seen outside the tent, and if you've spent any time in the city outside of the fancy walled off portion for the nobility, the wealthier district, he hasn't done very well for any of the citizens, but I mean neither have any heir twos or boivers or any. Yeah, if you look throughout the history of Penrite, ever since the fall of the old empire, it's been in constant decline. Which is a big reason I think we need such radical change in the political landscape of Penrite, and I think bending the knee to the west would be a good start in that direction. I think you know, I mean. You know what's happened with Nairn. I imagine he's told you. He's been strifing. There's been tensions between him and the Esters, and there always have been with Penrite and the Esters ever since we were put under their command 2 centuries ago by Mad Harari. But yeah, he's dangerous. He's smart. From what I know, talking, you know, experiencing, he never, from what I don't know the guy, and I've only been around for a year, I've never met him, but what I've heard talking with people.
Wait, hold on.
Yep.
And because you said only been around for a year?
Yeah, she's like pretty young and she just got out of schooling.
She's been back for a year. So she left, she grew up. In Penrite, she left.
Okay, that's what I was confused about.
Yeah, she grew up in Penrite. She left when she was 16, and she just came back a year ago.
Okay, I thought you meant she only had been there for a year.
Yeah, she's been back for a year. She was gone for 8 years.
Okay,
so it's like,
okay, get it.
Yeah,
she just got back.
Mm-hmm.
Only been a year.
Well, she's only 25.
Yes.
Damn, oh my God.
Guys,
she's in my age. It could happen. It could happen. Dang, 25.
Well, I know talking to people that do know him and are more connected with the ongoings. You know, I have friends who are friends with nobility, and you know, doing this job, I meet a lot of people, make a lot of connections. I know that he's famous for not making any uncalculated move or any move that poses any risk to him. He makes the move that is the best for him every time. And there's a reason he's been able to, he's been a very successful duke for so long. There's a reason he felt that he could afford to defy the Esters. He is brave and smart and dangerous to common people like us, to regular people like us. I fully believe he is willing to bring it to war if he thinks that he can win.
And what do you think, if you know anything, what do you think of his advisors? I only met them briefly. I didn't even hear any of them really say a word.
Yeah, I don't know much, but you know, they tax his administration's been pretty much the same as his father, if not a little, maybe about just the same as him and the heir twos before. Not been much change, just increasing taxes and just brutally collecting taxes from the citizens if they cannot or refuse to pay, suppressing movements such as mine, trying to unite the peasantry against the nobility. I mean, if you're a wealthy merchant or guildsman, you really like Nairn. He's been very good for you in maintaining trade, keeping the peace, until all of a sudden now. But if you're anyone that lives outside of the walled off portion of the city, you should hate him, in my opinion. Maybe hate's a strong word, but you should want a change in management. Hence, bending the knee to the west. They treat their citizens a lot differently. If you go to West Penrite, it's not significantly better. A lot of the issues in the city are due to, you know, the density and sheer number of people. you know, spreading disease, and also, you know, just tensions between East and West. Again, unifying with the West ends the tensions. You can see my whole philosophy regarding this, but the West treat their citizens differently. Not only House Weller, but specifically the Lord of West Penwright. Citizens of West Penwright are treated differently, hence why they don't have to try and rebel as often as citizens in East Penwright. Sorry, you got me going. What about you? Any fun adventuring stories? Any place you've gone that's been particularly interesting? Seen anything particularly cool? Besides a Westerling?
Besides a Westerling?
Vaguely Orientalist. what does that mean?
You were describing, like, you were talking about, like, the West, and then you were like, oh, like, your tribe elder, and you started talking about, like, this, like, super tribal land out there, and I was like, these are, like, weird terms.
That's their understanding of it, yeah.
It was mostly a joke, don't worry.
No, yeah. Any fun adventuring stories, Rook?
By the way, if you fumble this bag, I'm definitely coming in.
I don't know. Should I... Internal thought. Should I try to get her to do this? Because, like, she's helping out quite a bit. We're going to be here for a while, so we have multiple chances.
My thought is, like, how can we convince her that, like, Naren can be an ally? Because as long as we... Because as long as we, as the prophecy, put our foot forward to, like, one of the things, it technically benefits him. So I feel like this is a good one.
Don't believe. I mean, Tanya, just as a player here, I don't believe that this would be something that Naren would ever agree to. Because Naren doesn't... Yeah. Naren wants to be rich, from what I know. He doesn't want to merge with the people he is revolting against, rebelling against, and be someone who's kind of like insignificant. He wants to be on top. He wants to, like, get back at the person, because they want to reunite with the West, right? And the West is what Naren hates.
The East stripped him of his title. The West, the East, he's not even. Yeah, he's a vassal of House Ester. That's okay. Why they would be.
So maybe
he would be switching his allegiance to House Weller and bending the knee. Which hasn't been done. Like, the legality of that is not even really... Sorry, I'm going too... it's going too far.
that gives me more information. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He... From what I understand, that would... I think my point still kind of stands. I don't think Naren would do that because he wants to be on... He wants to be the one who's in charge of everything, getting money. So if he switches and kind of goes to the West, he's probably not going to have a huge say in everything. Maybe what we could bring up is that he could be... I'll say this in character later when we all meet up. Maybe he could work out something with the West where he has control over Penwright, and then the West just is a bigger entity. It's not, like, what he hates. I don't know.
I think the tricky thing is right now we're in a spot where we need to make a choice with this woman of, do we let her know that possibly we can get her resources through Naren?
Because
it's the what, why, how. It's the what are you doing, why are you doing it, how can we help? Or, like, how, what would we have to give?
I don't know, but I have an idea that I could ask that I was thinking of saying in character anyway.
Okay, I'll...
okay, so...
That's a character. Tariq just standing there.
Conversation. Like... Yeah, she finished a conversation about Naren. We were both kind of seeing it. She's probably almost done, right?
In healing you? Yeah, she's... Healing? She's, yeah, she's getting pretty close. She's massaged the ointment in and done various other... Rook, to help you out a little bit.
Rook's going to ask. I know that you have quite a few people that you have that were behind us that you have to treat. Is there any other time that we might be able to chat with you more about what you to say and what we can do really to help at all?
Tomorrow I'm holding a rally around noon. If you want to come speak with me then. I always stay after my speech to speak with people. I can't guarantee you'll get to me. It's usually I've been drawing bigger and bigger crowds.
But that's... If we might just...
Is there something you need to talk with me about? Is something going on with Naren?
We might...
I think that there could be things of mutual benefit between the two of us. But we also need to meet with our friend from the Navy.
We were planning on... Mostly coming here to
see her eyes kind of narrow. Her eyes kind of narrow now as she like stops massage. She like dramatically slows down how she's like massaging into your arm and narrowing. Like, right. Is Naren looking to meet with me?
I don't know if he's planning to meet with you, but pose some things to us that mostly included us talking to you, to be honest. Though I do have a personal interest in what you have to say.
He wants in on some of these factions, and he's sending us as his errand boys.
And honestly, I don't know if I trust Naren completely myself yet.
I'm with Rogue on that one.
Well, if you're going to report back to him... You see, she stops from massaging Rogue altogether and sort of crosses her arms and stands.
What do you want us to say?
I will tell him anything.
I'm open to a dialogue with him so long as he meets me here in my camp, in my tent. I'm not going to his keep.
Okay.
That seems perfectly fair.
I can convey that message to him. However, I would like to say that...
I would have dismissed him entirely and worked with her, honestly. Like,
honestly, I would.
I love her, but she doesn't have the resources. She's going to be so stretched thin.
I love her so much.
She's stretched thin because she doesn't
unconditionally love her.
I was been so one time that she's doing the greatest work out of everyone in this whole city.
No, I love her. Love her, but she doesn't have the resources, which sucks.
Because she could give you books to take to the Western Woods.
We should kill her.
No. Anyway, I was mid-sentence saying this. I was mid-sentence saying.
Sorry.
But on at least a personal level, I really want you to get the resources where you can at least keep taking care of people and. People like this community where you can have people from all around the world who come around and share their culture. It is absolutely amazing.
It is nice to feel welcomed.
Anytime. You guys are welcome back to the camp anytime.
Also, if for whatever reason you do not see us tomorrow, please do not take it as a sign that we do not agree with your cause.
Of course. She smiles and nods. Anyways, your treatment is about finished up. She turns to Roke. And she hands you a little
bread.
hands you more bread.
Can Roke get an HP for a really good massage, please?
She hands you a little the massage felt great, by the way. Your arms feel so much better, and the ointment has been seeping a little bit, and you don't feel any more pain in your arms. She hands you, she goes back to her desk and like files through some like drawers and pulls out like a little empty bag. And you see, she like takes out like a handful of something in her hand and like drops them in, and she closes the drawer. Actually, you can see what she drops in. There's like a handful of these green little, like, it looks like moss balls, and she drops in like five. She walks up and goes, "Eat one of these every morning for the next 5 days, and it should help you heal faster."
Thank you. If you don't mind,
and I put some bread in there since you like food so much. And she smiles.
Thank you.
Bread.
If you don't mind, I have one more question that is kind of unrelated to what today. Can I ask?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
You meet a lot of people here. Have you come across by anyone of the name before?
You cut out. The name what?
Oh, the name Kadri before.
Kadri. I haven't treated
you know who I'm referencing to.
Yes.
By the way, okay.
I haven't treated anyone named Kadri. You could ask around camp. A lot of people come through here. I could put a word out. The Kadri.
Kadri.
Who? Kadri. What's yes. Who are they? What are you, why are you looking for them?
Oh, just an old friend of mine. We had separated long ago.
Do you have a description? I could pass word around camp. See if I get anything back.
He was West. Right, Jack?
It's your backstory, bro. I don't know.
No, you gave me the name.
I think so. I think if I changed the name, it must have been because it was a Westerling or something.
Okay, yes.
Maybe you maybe like named a Westerling Jim, and I was like, that's what happened.
In my story, his name was John, but then I asked you to change his name because I didn't know. Like, okay.
Yeah. John the Westerling?
No, yeah, he wasn't Westerling. Jack John, made him
I love
Westerling.
John.
Okay.
Jack?
But anyway. If he was a Westerling, then yeah, only Drock has come through. Westerlings are very rare in Aslandry, so yeah, he hasn't been in camp. I'm sorry to say. But I could still put word out, see if he's been seen in Penn, right? A lot of people come through here. It's the center of the continent. Very nice. The heart of the continent, as they say. Ever since the old capital burnt down.
That would be great.
Alright. Thanks. A Westerling named Kadri. Alright, well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any way we could repay you for your...
Oh, right, payment. I ask payment in two forms. Two options, really. Don't worry, you don't have to pay me twice. I'm not like the tax collectors around here the past week. Either pay as much as you can offer, or if you can't pay any money, you have to stay in the camp, say, for 3 days.
Offer? That is neither of the two, but...
So we have no money.
Wait, but I have an offer. I have an offer.
I have an offer. Can I make my offer?
I have an offer. Yeah. Bro, let me do my offer.
Can I make my offer? If you don't like my offer, you
can
interrupt.
Can I make
it? I have an offer, please.
Is this turning to Shark Tank?
Can I make an offer?
Go ahead. Offer. Okay.
Yes.
My offer being, I can't immediately do this because I need to help my friend Roke walk back to a meeting place, but I really want to meet this Westerling, and I could help you do some translation and get more across between the two of you for a day if you need it. I would be happy to help break that language barrier. I'm not amazing in common, but I have learned enough to, as you can see,
you're way better
communicate.
Than him. Don't worry.
Yeah.
She puts her hand on your shoulder. I believe you. You can come back when you can. That'd be great. I'm sure you really want to meet him. He says
I haven't had a chance to speak my mother tongue in a really long time.
Well, he's very good at it, I presume. I can't really tell, mm-hmm. but he sounds good when he uses it.
He very okay
communicated
with...
that he was in pain when he came here initially, so.
If that's okay with you, Roke, I could take you back to meet our friend, and then I could come back here.
That would be great.
Oh, if you're meeting someone, you don't have to. Just come back tomorrow morning.
Okay. Well, no, you have a thing tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow.
We'll come back and see your
rally. I don't have to be here for you to be here. The camp doesn't need me to rally.
Well, I assume the language barrier part, you would want to be
meet
here.
Meet me at the rally tomorrow at noon and then come to the camp with me. She smiles. Or come in the morning, whichever suits you. I'll be here in the morning. I'm leaving probably around 10.
Organized.
To be honest, I'm very anxious to meet. I would come in the morning if that's all right.
Yes, of course. Anytime. Doors are always open. Mm-hmm. And spread the word of the camp if anyone needs help. All right. I do have other patients I have to see.
Yes, okay. We get up a deep
goodbye.
Mask on.
And she stops and goes, okay, wait, please. You really shouldn't wear that in Penry.
Yes! And give me something! Please!
She goes, ah.
Goes, she's gonna fucking dress Susie up like Joshua Graham.
Up on shore.
I have something around here, I swear. And she's like digging through all of her like boxes and crates and stuff. And she goes, hold on a second, come outside with me. And she leads you outside of the tent and like through the camp and like walking past a bunch of people. People are saying like, hi. Like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hi. And she's like, everyone that walks, she walks past. She's a fucking local celebrity in this camp.
As she should be. She's a woman that's amazing.
She walks into another tent. And I know I was really hoping you guys were going to meet here. I was like, she's awesome. She walks into another tent and gets you guys,
Usher, what the fuck?
She pulls out, she says, oh, we have a collection of masks you've been building up just in case any of us need to hide our identities. Would you prefer, how would you feel about a steel mask? And she holds up like a steel one, or copper, and she holds up a copper one. It'll show your eyes, maybe your lips.
That gives me armor bonus, baby! Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, what were you saying?
There's copper, and steel. It'll show your eyes and maybe your lips a little bit.
Steel, aesthetically.
Alright, she gives you... It's not very high quality, it's a bit dented. And maybe a bit rusted in some parts. Like on the edges are a little bit rusted. It's not high quality steel either, but it's got a little strap you can tie around your back, like the back of your head, and you can adjust it. And you now have a rusted, dented steel mask.
Yeah, I imagine like what's what the fuck? I'd imagine like what Tariq would do would be like wrap a cloth that's like very light and then put on the mask. Thank you.
You gotta like a general check.
That is a pretty good image of the new mask.
No, I imagine this is a sort of thing where, because it's also pure metal, so you likely would have like a light fabric underneath that you can see through, and then you would put this on.
You got it.
Which would deal with the lip and eye problem. Thank you so much.
That's all good. You guys are gonna head to the meeting spot. What time is it? Oh fuck, dude! I gotta work tomorrow.
We might have to
save Juni and Pierre for tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I wish you could play tomorrow. Next session. Which is fine. We're moving at a decent pace.